You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome into the gym class here in KGYM on this Tuesday, a very warm Tuesday, early spring here in eastern Iowa. Great to have you with us. Scott Unash from our studios in the southwest side. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes will join me here in a moment. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. That is our phone line as well. 319-366-1600. Lots to get to on a Tuesday edition of the program. We will talk about college basketball on court, off court. We'll do that coming up in just a couple of moments. We've got basketball coming away tonight, a doubleheader of conference championship games starting at 6 o'clock on 107.5, the Gym OT, along with 106.3 FM this evening. Colonial Athletic Conference championship followed by what should be a real fun West Coast Conference championship game, the number one and number two seeds going at it. Number one in the country, Gonzaga, taking on BYU in Las Vegas. And that will get started just past 8 o'clock after the Colonial Athletic Association conference championship game coming up tonight. And that will be at 6 o'clock this evening. 319-366-1600, as I mentioned, the text line, which I imagine will get a workout today. And we thank you for listening on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and your smart speaker here on this Tuesday afternoon. Fran McCaffrey talking with the media earlier on today, and Gary Barta talking with the media earlier on today as well. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Oh, yeah, we had the All Big Ten teams released today. And the Player of the Year. Luka Garza was Player of the Year, Mark. How about that?
Yeah, not surprisingly. Good afternoon, guys, and good afternoon, everyone. And enjoying the terrific weather. And we'll talk about the All Big Ten teams. There's three different ones, Associated Press, coaches, and media. Discrepancies in all. Scott, did I tell you, I know Bowling Night in America is tomorrow. Did I tell you we're going to start retiring bowling shoes? Try not to offend someone.
Yours up first? No, Rusty's. Rusty's would be up first. We could probably dig deeper than that. We will get to that. Trust us. We will get to that coming up in a little bit. Fran McCaffrey did talk with the media. We mentioned Gary Barta started things off today talking with the media. We'll get to that here in a moment as well. And by the way, we will have audio coming up from Coach McCaffrey, I would imagine from Gary Barta as well, with Todd and Alex coming up. And Coach's Cuts all through the season brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're online at ncsei.com. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. And as I mentioned, we'll hear audio clips coming up a little bit later on today. 319-366-1600. Let's start with the all Big Ten teams here, Mark, and congratulations to Luka Garza. There was discrepancy, as you mentioned, as far as the three teams are concerned, but one thing was pretty much over the board that was unanimous, and that was the fact that Luka Garza is the Big Ten Men's Basketball Player of the Year.
Yes, indeed. And he was on all three teams that previously were mentioned. On the Associated Press team, it was Garza, Ayo Dosunmu, E.J. Liddell, Trace Jackson Davis, and Marcus Carr of Minnesota. And the coaches were Luka, Ayo, Kofi Coburn, Liddell, and Trevion Williams, which I think was the team that Mike Alas told us yesterday he voted in.
He got it right on that one.
The media, Garza, Dosunmu, Coburn, Jackson Davis, and Hunter Dickinson, first team. Very interesting.
Yeah, it was. I'm not sure how you can keep E.J. Liddell off of a first team, but the media did. And, you know, that's just my opinion. I think E.J. Liddell was Ohio State. And nothing against Trace Jackson Davis. Nothing against Hunter Dickinson, certainly. Both very good players. Hunter Dickinson was unanimous across the board as far as the freshman of the year. They did name an all-freshman team as far as the coaches are concerned. And congratulations to Keegan Murray of Iowa as he was selected to be on the all-freshman team. Sixth player of the year, Andre Curbelo of Illinois. Coach of the year pretty much across the board was Juwan Howard. Player of the year, freshman of the year, as we mentioned. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in as far as Big Ten player of the year, Luka Garza is concerned. And, yeah, Marcus Carr was everywhere from first team to third team. He was kind of the wild card in all of this. And I'm with Mike Kolas. That would have been the five that I would have come up with. If I had a sixth player to throw on there, it might have been between Trace Jackson Davis and Isaiah Livers of Michigan. Really like him. Some of the other players, Ron Harper Jr. was on the third team. Joe Wieskamp, by the way, second team as far as the coaches are concerned from Iowa and as well as the media. Joe Wieskamp on the second team. Honorable mention going out to Jordan Bohannon and C.J. Frederick. For the media, coaches just went with Jordan Bohannon as far as honorable mention is concerned. When you've got guys like Geo Baker, Eric Ayala, Jordan Bohannon, and Trent Frazier on your honorable mention team, I think you had a good year in your conference.
Yeah, I think the discrepancies speak to the talent and depth of talent in the Big Ten. Yeah, you can go with the third team or the honorable mention and take those players and go to war and be pretty successful. But, you know, it's open for debate. None of the three teams are right or wrong, but it is certain that Garza, he reaped in a lot of awards today, the Sporting News Player of the Year and among other things. By the way, Big Ten Player of the Year was not unanimous. There were 15 voters. Garza got 11 votes, and DeSumo got 4.
Yeah. I meant my unanimous was that Garza was all three of the voting voting entities did come up with Garza. Yeah, he was not unanimous on all those. And, you know, you really can't go wrong either with DeSumo. I think Garza probably deserved it by just a razor's thin margin. But DeSumo is really good as well. Can't say that he wasn't. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in as far as all Big Ten is concerned, Luka Garza, where Iowa gets ready to go, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let's get to, after that, what happened in Iowa City today. Let's go with the second part first, and that is the comments from head coach Fran McCaffrey. Talking about Joe Wieskamp, said right now the plan is if he is ready to go, he will play on Friday. If he is not ready to go, then they're going to have to basically see what the backup plan is going to be. I guess that is it kind of in a circular nutshell right there.
Fran also was asked about how Iowa is going to travel. Well, not how they're going to travel. He basically said the team is going to stay in Indianapolis for as long as it is involved in the NCAA tournament. So that's at least a week, if not more. But Iowa will stay in Indianapolis through the Big Ten tournament and then beyond into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. So they're going to be there a while. Pack enough belongings that you're not going to run out of clothes. I think it's kind of the way it plays out, but yeah, it's an interesting, and I don't blame them for staying over there. To be honest with you, I really don't. Probably saves things as far as the long run is concerned. So, Travel plans. On the text line, Doug in Coralville, why does the Big Ten put 11 players on the first team for the Women's All-League? Great question.
Everybody gets a ribbon type team, yeah.
Great question. And I counted, and there are 11 players on the Big Ten first team as far as women's basketball is concerned, including Caitlin Clark, who was unanimous, and Monica Sinano, both on the first team as far as women's Big Ten tournament, women's Big Ten, all Big Ten team is concerned. I don't have a clue why they do that. That is that's just down the line right there. Dwayne asks, when is the Wooden Award going to be announced? That's still a ways off. I know Todd's a voter now. I was a voter up to about 3 years ago, and it usually comes out around Final Four time or around that area anyway. So that's when you will find out, and Luca Garza is going to be one of the finalists. I don't think there's any doubt about that, and I think he's probably going to be the odds-on favorite, Dwayne.
Yeah, this award usually is announced anyway during the Final Four, but it's presented during the Final Four, I'm sorry, and announced a bit earlier than that, so I think you're spot on with that.
Yeah. 319-366-1600, that's a text line if you would like to reach us. Phone lines also available at 319-366-1600. Coming up on the back half of the program today, speaking of basketball, I had a chance to sit down and talk with Kim Moule a little bit earlier on today, the women's basketball coach at Kirkwood. Unbeaten on the year, number one rated as they get into the final few weeks of their regular season. And we'll hear from Coach Moule coming up in just a little bit. And always entertaining to sit down and talk to Kim, who's been at Kirkwood for over 30 years and numerous national championships and putting themselves in position to win another one this year in a very unusual year that's probably not going to get done, he said, till almost May, the end of April. They don't even start regionals until April, he said.
Well, Kim certainly got it going again, and we'll be anxious to hear from him.
Yep, that'll be coming up here in just a little bit. 319-366-1600. Before we get to the other part of the news conference today, let's just get you updated on what's happened at state basketball today. 3A getting underway, number one seeded, number one rated Ballard having no problem with Clear Lake, leading that one 68-43. Earlier on today in 2A, Des Moines Christian knocked out Dyersville Beckman 58-38. It was a closer game till the end. Christian pulled away at the end. And then it was Western Christian ousting Comanche 71-55. Davenport Assumption takes on Dallas Center Grimes coming up at the top of the hour. And then tonight at 6 o'clock, it'll be Western Dubuque taking on Sergeant Bluff Luton. And that'll be followed by Monticello taking on Pella. That will be at 8 o'clock coming up this evening from the Boys State Basketball Tournament. Tomorrow, 4A will get underway at 10 in the morning, and then we've got a semifinal in 1A for you tomorrow night. 5:45 pregame on 107.5 FM, the Jim OT. It'll be number one, North Lynn, taking on number four seeded Martinsdale St. Mary's. Both undefeated, and that should be a heck of a contest coming up. Martinsdale St. Mary's with a overtime victory over also unbeaten Easton Valley in the first round. So that is state basketball going on right now. 18 past the hour of 3 o'clock, 319-366-1600, as we come your way on a Tuesday edition of the show. And, it is controversy amok in Iowa City today. The first part of the news conference today from Fran McCaffrey was Gary Barta. He came in talking about the, and I don't even know what the right word is surrounding it, but all the rigmarole around the retirement of the jersey of Luca Garza and the reaction of Devin Marble, members of the Marble family. And Gary Barta thought it enough to start off the news conference today with him talking about it.
Yeah, and I'll get to his comments in a minute. I think it's important, Scott, to Some people don't have Twitter that are listening. Some people may have missed it. Others are quite familiar with what has happened in the last 24 hours in regards to Devin Marble's Twitter account. And I think proper context is important here, okay? I'm going to go through it very briefly. Yesterday, Devin tweeted that, quote, "I don't even watch college basketball, but Juwan Howard really got Michigan hooping, stepped into that job effortlessly. To which one of his followers named Ezekiel asked, how come you don't watch Iowa? Maybe the best team in the last 25 years. 5 hours later, about 18 hours ago, Devin Marble responded to Ezekiel by saying this: I'll never watch another Iowa game in my life with the amount of disrespect that school has shown me and my family. Love the fans, but I'm in no way affiliated or connected to the university." And that prompted many opinions, columns, comments. By the way, I should say, if you look through Devin Marble's Twitter feed and the responses, some are absolutely deplorable. I'll just say that.
Yes.
You know, I like to think that I'm not going to say anything on the air that I wouldn't say to somebody's face. But people on Twitter and Facebook and even on the airwaves and in newspaper columns don't adhere to that. And I think it's gutless. At any rate, Gary Bardas began the news conference today by apologizing to the Marbles if they had a feeling of any disrespect on the part of the university. And Fran McCaffrey followed that up by saying that he loves Devin, loves his dad. Both have reached out to Devin and the family and have not, at least the last time I looked, not gotten a response from Devin. So some people piling on Gary Barta for this. And, I mean, Barta's been athletic director since 2006. And I think where he got into trouble, and he's had his issues in the past. I have to grant you that. But in 2015, when he presented Roy Marble Sr. A framed jersey, he was, in response to a question, he said he didn't envision retiring any jerseys anytime soon, and hadn't been done for 20 years. And he also said sort of a wall of fame was going to be planned and erected to honor men's and women's basketball players. To this date, that hasn't been done. I don't know if anybody has asked Barta why it has not been done, but it has not been done. Maybe there's good reason. I have no idea, but I don't know if there is a reason. But listen, Bump Elliott was athletic director when Roy Marble concluded his career. Bump Elliott did not choose to retire Roy Marble's number or jersey in 1987 upon, you know, in his last game at Carver Hawkeye, for example. Bob Bowlesby succeeded Bump and didn't really rectify that situation, if you think it's a situation. And now it's in Barta's hands. I mean, third athletic director since Roy Marble played, and his jersey number is not retired. You know, there's plenty of reasons, plenty of theories out there why it hasn't been done. I personally don't care. I don't make those decisions. But it's a burning topic of conversation resurrected by Devin Marble's tweet last night. And I'm over. I mean, this has been going on for decades. I covered that 1987 team, and I look back. Did I ever ask Bump Elliott why they didn't retire Roy's number? I don't know. I can't remember. I'll have to look back. If I didn't, bad on me. But, I mean, this has been going on for 30, 35 years, Scott.
And it's coming up now because, obviously, you had Megan Gustafson a couple years ago. and now Luka Garza, and the situation surrounding what happened Sunday when, after the game, Fran McCaffrey told Luka that his number not only was going to be retired, it was never going to be worn again by another Iowa basketball player. The sad part, I think, about this is the fact that you've got a player of the year and you've got a number five basketball team right now that is being basically ignored because we're all caught up into this number situation yet again. I was in school with Marble and BJ and the rest of those guys. Listen, I'm not going to pretend I knew them back then. I knew them from class, a couple classes that I had with them. BJ a little bit more because he was a communications guy. But, you know, it's a situation where back then, remembering it last night and today, it wasn't a huge deal, I think, to have the number retired. Now, did it become a huge deal later on? Perhaps. Should have been rectified by two other athletic directors? Perhaps. I'm with you. I don't think this is a Gary Barta problem per se. He probably didn't help the situation back in 2015 when he made those comments, but you can change your mind. Should there be something as far as honoring the greats of Iowa men's and women's basketball and wrestling and volleyball and gymnastics, or whatever the case may be? Absolutely. Absolutely. At Carver-Hawkeye Arena. And maybe this will be the impetus to get it going. And I don't know. But again, it all depends on your outlook. And then it just got, you throw a match to something at this time of the year, Mark, and it's going to burn out of control. And that's what's happening right now. And again, like I said, it's very sad that we're not talking a lot about the Iowa basketball team at this point and how good of a season. Remember, they were preseason number five, and they end the season, the regular season, at number five. And that seems to be on the back burner today.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be a particular distraction as Iowa prepares for the Big Ten basketball tournament.
Shouldn't be.
Listen, I, in terms of Barta's comment in 2015 that he didn't envision retiring any numbers, well, Megan Gustafson and Luka Garza weren't on campus then. How could anybody envision two careers like that? Well, it happened.
And now we're already talking about Caitlin Clark now.
Well, yeah, that's going to happen in 3-4 short years. No question about it. And I think whether it's the athletic directors themselves or the programs or what have you, the practice of retiring jerseys and numbers has probably changed over the years. Many of the nine that have now had their jerseys and numbers retired, or 10 if you include B.J. Armstrong's jersey, those guys played years and years and years ago when Forrest Evashevsky was the athletic director, when Sharm Sherman and a couple, three of his teammates had their jerseys retired because they finished second in the country. The standards probably have changed over the years. What it was like in 87 for Bump Elliott probably is not true for 2021 with Gary Barta, not only at Iowa, but other places.
319-366-1600. Text line out there. David and Hudson, it's Barta's problem now, if it's a problem at all. Retire the number and get the marbles back. They should be a part of the Iowa family. Okay.
83-86. I don't think anybody's numbers needs to be retired. They play to entertain, not for adulation, or at least I hope so.
It's a situation now, though. Okay. Let's say you retire Roy Marble's jersey. Great. But is it going to be bounce back because of the fact, do you retire it, or do you retire it and allow somebody else to have that number down the line? You have that. And not everyone's going to be happy about the outcome of that. And then everyone's going to be all bent out of shape about it. Looking back, there haven't been a lot of Hawkeye players to wear number 23. I believe the last one was walk-on from Iowa City, Okeuka, wore the back in 2014-15, right in there, wore number 23. And he didn't get onto the court a whole lot. You know, not saying they've semi-retired or anything like that. I'm just stating what I've been reading here.
Yeah, you or others have a better memory than I do about that, but
I use the internet too, Mark.
Yeah. Be careful what you read out there, okay?
Selective internet reading.
Is this going to change anything? Is Devin Marble's tweet going to change anything? Maybe. I don't know. But I highly doubt it. If it hasn't been done, that is retiring Roy Marble's number of jersey. If it hasn't been done now, why would it be done 35 years later? Because we live in a different society. We have different standards. And if it is retired, there are going to be those out there who point to his off the court problems. And Roy Marble had problems off the court. Was that a reason where Bump Elliott and Bob Bowlesby and Gary Barta have not retired the jersey/number? I don't know. We've never gotten an explanation from any of the men. Bump has passed. I realize that. So the conversation is tiresome to me. It's only relevant because a son of an all-time great tweeted about it in response to one of his Twitter followers' tweets. I hope Gary Barta and Fran McCaffrey can have a conversation with Devin Marble. I can't believe that Devin Marble doesn't realize that Fran McCaffrey has a whole lot of love for him and his father. As far as how he feels about Gary Barta, I don't know. But I hope they have a conversation at least and try to iron this out.
319-366-1600. How can we forget about Jermaine Davis from 2008-2009 and the Licklider era wearing number 23? I'm sorry, I forgot about that. And then before that, Doug Thomas wore it for a brief time in Iowa City, number 23. 319-366-1600. As we come your way on a Tuesday edition of the program. And 5827. Everything on social media is true. Very much so. If you'd like to comment, love to hear from you on the text line. Again, that is 319-366-1600. Iowa is going to play basketball on Friday. Found out today Joe Wieskamp may play if he is able and ready to go. If there are no problems with the ankle, sounds like he will be a go on Friday. If it is not fully healed, I was going to be making a decision at that time. What is best for the team and what is best for Joe Wieskamp. Learned that coming out of things here today. 333 here on the program. Yes, 0623 saying it should have been retired years ago. He's Mount Rushmore of Iowa basketball, in my opinion. We've asked that question before, I think, in our summer talks that we've had in our summer series, Mark.
Well, to my knowledge, at least in basketball, there's no established criteria, is there? I mean, it's a feeling, it's an opinion.
Kinnick Stadium, it's different.
It is. I mean, to my knowledge, Roy Marble was never an All-America. I don't think he was first team All-Conference. Neither was B.J. Armstrong, but he had his jersey retired. So without any standards, how do you decide on such things?
Good question. Good question. All right, 334, we're going to take a break, come back. We're going to hear from Kim Mool, the head coach of the Kirkwood women's basketball team. We'll come back. We'll take a look at basketball for tonight. So some very, very good college basketball games on tap. And we'll talk about those when we come back. You're listening to The Gym Class on this Tuesday, the 9th of March. Back with more after this here on KGYM.
Before you settle in to watch the game, don't forget to place your one-game parlay at BetMGM. One-game parlay is an exciting feature designed to help you make selections within a single game from over 400 bet types, including team and player props. Log into your BetMGM account and raise the stakes for a chance to win big. One-game parlay is the fast and easy way to make your same-game win, total, and prop picks. New to BetMGM? Sign up today and make every play of every game matter more than ever. You can make one-game parlay bets on soccer and NBA games, with more sports coming soon. Go ahead and take your favorite player to score, the home team to cover, and the over in points for the star power forward. Log in today or download the BetMGM app to try one-game parlay and turn game day into payday. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
The early bird will get much more than the worm this month at IMON. If you're one of the first 50 people to switch to IMON's 100 megabit internet, you'll also receive a free Amazon Fire Stick. That's right. Not only will you get fast, reliable internet service for only $57 per month, you'll also get superior 24/7 customer support and a free Amazon Fire Stick if you're one of the first 50 customers to sign up. Upgrade your streaming before the sun starts beaming this spring with IMON's internet service and your free Amazon Fire Stick. Sign up today at go.imon.net/radio.
New residential customers only. Other conditions apply.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Back with you on the gym class here on KGYM on this Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for joining us. Do appreciate it. And we're going to talk some Kirkwood women's basketball. Our friend Kim Moule joining us, the head women's basketball coach of the number one rated Kirkwood Eagles as they get ready for a trip to beautiful Mason City coming up tomorrow to take on NIAC. Always a fun trip up to North Central Iowa, isn't it, Coach?
Yeah, you know, I don't think they've had as much snow as us, so.
Well, it's all gone anyway now, right?
Yeah, so we'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, things are going well, obviously, for the Eagles, and not the start and not the usual season that we're expecting, but we're playing basketball. You guys are playing basketball, and you're playing very well.
Yeah, well, you know, we started out the strange thing. We've been doing something since September. So this is now the kids. A lot of these kids have already been done. So now it's become a little bit of a tougher grind for them. So, but yeah, we started off very well, better than I thought we were going to do, and they just kind of gotten better and better.
They have, and every team's got its own personality, as you know, especially as far as junior college basketball is concerned. And have you found this team's personality yet, or are they still working on it?
I think it's a work in progress, but no, they've this group has got a pretty good IQ. I mean, they really do. They pick up stuff pretty quick. And they've kind of bought in much quicker, I thought. You know, but we've had a lot of time. You know, we haven't played any games, but we were still practicing up until December 1st, I believe, something like that. So, it's a good group. I don't know about personality, but it's a real solid group as far as chemistry and things like that.
Well, they can't do a whole lot better than they've been doing as far as record-wise is concerned. And this team, just looking at things up and down, what jumps out is defense. for this group, and they're just not allowing a whole lot of points so far.
No, they kind of, we changed it, a mindset of it. I think a little bit stronger. We struggled here about 3 weeks ago that we gave up a lot of points on. I can't remember what team we even played, but we had to have a I called it Mindset Monday. So we didn't use a ball for the practice. We just basically guarded somebody. We might have used one ball for a little bit, but everything was all defense to get your mind back of what's important. So we did that for about an hour and a half.
Well, that obviously has worked, and they bought into it.
Yeah, you know, it's the offense always seems to come, and kids always work on that part of the game anyhow. So, yeah, we've been guarding people very well against Iowa Lakes, who's not a bad basketball team. You know, I think we allowed them 1 point in the fourth quarter, so that was obviously a big plus.
It's a team that's very balanced, too, from top to bottom. Nobody averaging, I think, more than 11 points or just a tick over 11 points. You got a couple at 10, you know, 8, not 8, 7, things like that. So, yeah, you got to love the balance.
Yeah, I think we could have, you know, there could be a kid that scores 21 night, but it could be a different kid every night. So we have had really good balance. Different games too. Ashley Tull has had a good. She's starting to come on as of late. Carson Stratton has played really well offensively. But yeah, you're right. I didn't really realize that we're 11-8. So that's pretty good. I kind of like that.
Well, you mentioned Ashley Tull, and a very interesting story. Obviously, a local gal out of North Lynn, redshirt sophomore. And really starting to play her best basketball, and she's kind of that personality you look for. That okay, they had a good high school career, bordering on a very good high school career, but you're looking at what they can do possibly in the next few years. And I think she was one of those that you saw the potential that was there.
Yeah, I liked her in high school a lot. I mean, she was a big kid with a motor. And a lot of times you don't see that. And she, unfortunately, she got hurt her freshman year, and you know, she ACL'd, and then she rehabbed it. And she was going to come back last January, and just asked her what she wanted to do: have play a full season and come back, or did she want me to, you know, get her going in January? And she made the decision to come back, which has been very good for us.
Well, maybe very good for somebody too down the line.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be. I think there's the more we progress down the road here. Hopefully, she's getting some looks now, but she's going to get more and more just because she's a big kid that will pound inside. She can go outside a little bit, and she's really strong. But she guards very well. She's a great help defender. So.
Yeah, doing a great job. And you mentioned Carson Stratton, too. I got to see her at Clear Creek Amana last year, and very good athlete, and helping you out in a big way.
Yeah, she was kind of, you know, we liked her. I mean, my assistants made me look at her. I mean, I was looking at her, don't get me wrong, but we were just trying. I didn't know what we were doing in the recruiting process at that time last year, and we went and watched her. I went and watched her play, and I liked her right away. She's not just a good basketball player. She's got so many other attributes off the court. She's a great kid. She's an excellent student. I mean, she was just there's more things to basketball with that kid. And that sold us on her. And then she comes, and she's player of the week her first week here. So she is really coachable, and she's gotten better and getting better.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Kim Mull joining us from Kirkwood Women's Basketball as the Eagles get ready to take on NIAC as March is rolling around here. And you got a nice blend of, you got some region kids anyway. You do have one from way out in northwest Iowa, though, and Mobile, interestingly enough. A little freshman post out there, but you got some eastern Iowans, and then you went to Chicago a little bit and looked around and poked around there. And I think, Minneapolis, too. So you've been everywhere.
Yeah, you know, it was hard to recruit last year. So we were fortunate. We had some kids commit early, and then we stayed on them through the pandemic. And And we, in fact, we had two kids sign with us that didn't even visit. Because, you know, people were not allowing visits for a while. So they wanted to make a decision. We liked them, and so we got them. but that was kind of that was a whole different recruiting deal last year.
Probably don't want to go through that again, do you?
No, I mean, I don't like staying home that much. I got to get out of there, so.
Well, you still have a few weeks of the regular season remaining. So, like I said, you guys have been playing or practicing since September, basically. And this is going to be a long year, but hopefully a very, very kind and good year.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's, you know, we've got another – usually we're preparing for the regional tournament right now. And we have, like you say, another, what, I believe, 4 weeks left in our season. So it's like – it's real odd, you know. It's just, and I think we have cut practice back, and we're just trying to stay in shape and stay on task, you know, and because we're playing Wednesday, Saturday, so it's really different because our last game is April 3rd. So if we are lucky enough to go to the national tournament, I think national tournament is 2 weeks later. So when we would get done with all this stuff, it might be around the 1st of May. And then school's out.
Then you do it all over again.
Yeah, then you start again in August, September.
What about the league this year? What's it looking like?
Well, we were basically – we're only playing an Iowa schedule this year nobody wants to travel. And we stayed in Iowa. We did go to Nebraska, but they're going to be in our league next year. So they're going to be Division II. So at our level, the D2 level, DMAC right now would probably be our number two team. They're 10-3, and their losses are to us and Iowa Western. So, and then Southwestern and Iowa Lakes, Iowa Central. That's kind of where they're at. And like I say, we're 13-0. So. If we don't screw up too badly, we should be able to host some regionals.
Yeah, over at Johnson Hall. And you got Iowa Western coming up on Saturday at home.
Very good team. We went out there early and beat them. And I think the reason they have a lot of international kids, which I think always takes a little bit longer for those kids to adjust to the whole situation in the States. And they've been popping some people now. And they got a 6'5", 6'2". They're big, and they're really athletic. So we will definitely have our hands full when we play them at home.
Mm-hmm. And but you get that defense to keep doing what it's been doing, and things will be good. And the offense isn't bad either. I mean, you don't have that 20-point-a-game scorer, but you've been popping a few 90s in there and, you know, staying pretty consistent, I think, with the offense.
Yeah, you know, if we're staying in the 70 point range, I think we're in pretty good shape because we've been not allowing, you know, I don't even know what our defensive allowance is, probably in the 50s, I would assume. Yeah, if we can just keep our defense going, the offense seems to click according to that.
Yeah, and helping things out. And speaking of helping things out, your three assistants, able-bodied assistants right there and doing a great job with you again this season.
Yeah, you know, now we're down to two because Matt Haas helps us. He's working, but then he comes on games and helps us, and he helps recruiting. Jen Franciscan's kind of been here the longest. And she works in the rec center and helps us. And Sarah Hutchins just got a job at the University of Iowa. So we lost her about a week ago.
No.
So, which was good for her. I mean, she needed to take a look. She needed to get a full-time gig. That's the bottom line. So, and I think she's happy over there. And so we're probably going to replace Sierra, but not until in the May. Prime May, that's when we've got a kid coming in, we think.
Yeah, and of course, Prairie product, and Jen played for you as well.
Yep.
back in the day. I'm not going to say how many years ago for both of your sakes.
Oh, Jen's old. I mean, you know, she can't get up and down anymore.
I'm not going to say anything to her. Like that. Good player in her day.
Yes.
Very good player in her day. And yeah, you mentioned so far 13-0, and hopefully a good trip to Mason City coming up tomorrow. But then you get into, you know, hopefully hosting regionals and things like that, and in the national scene. And you know, I guess with the pandemic, I don't know if it's easier to take a look at the national scene, or maybe it's harder this year just to take a look at, or maybe it'll be the same teams that you're used to possibly facing.
I think it's going to be a lot more difficult because some regions shut down. They didn't play. So, like, our region this year gets two people out. Illinois gets two. So, traditionally, you know, our region's pretty good. So, traditionally, when we don't get two, there may be a team, and I hate to say, you know, out of another region that's not very good. Mm. So, your top 16 may change a lot. So, you may not have that bad or that first round gimme as we've had in the past. Number 16 could be really good because they're putting people in different districts this year.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be, and it's hard to look at right now to figure it out because it's changing. You know, because people dropped they weren't going to play. They haven't played this year. So, like Arizona, I don't think they've played yet.
Mm.
But they're still trying to get a few games in to get, and then they'll have to go. What I've heard, Arizona's going to have to go to Dallas.
Oh wow!
So I don't know who they'll play. So it's going to be that number 16th seeded team could be really, really good.
True. And well, don't worry about that until it hasn't. You have to come up.
No, we got to win the regional first. So that's the thing.
Yeah, that's the big thing right there. And well, tomorrow night, Mason City, and then back at Johnson Hall coming up Saturday afternoon against Iowa Western. So that should be a good one. And then a couple more, let's see, two more games at home at Johnson Hall after that. So
I think we have DMAC coming in. I think
Marshalltown.
Yep. That's. Then we have two on the road. So we're getting down there.
Down in the nitty gritty, anyway. So
yep.
Well, enjoy that trip to Mason City. It's always a pleasurable one, and hopefully it'll be a nice trip back.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Well, I appreciate you having me on. Thanks, Scott.
All right. Thanks, Kim. Appreciate it.
All right. See you later.
All right. Kim Moule, head women's basketball coach of the Kirkwood Eagles, back with more after this here on KGYM.
I know some of you have never bet on golf before. That's why I wanted to tell you about the under par bonus on FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel is hooking you up all weekend long during the Players' Championship. And best of all, new and existing users can cash in whether your golfer wins or loses. Here's how it works. You'll get up to $5 in site credit for each stroke your golfer finishes the tournament under par. You'll spin the under par wheel to determine your bonus. All you have to do is bet $50 or more on the outright winner. Just be sure to get your bet in before the Players' Championship tees off on Thursday to be eligible. Whether you like one of the favorites like Dustin Johnson or Adam Scott or Jason Day or a long shot like Jim Furyk, the Under Par Challenge is a great opportunity for everyone. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official betting operator of the PGA Tour. That means there are even more ways for you to win all tournament long. Just do me one favor. Sign up with promo code KUHN so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $50. Terms apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
3:53, we are back with you on the gym class here on KGYM. Thanks to Kim Moule for stopping by and talking Kirkwood women's basketball with us here on the program today. 319-366-1600, a reminder that planning your wedding, it might look a little bit different this year, but the one thing that remains the same is adding that special touch to your beautiful wedding day. The Z102.9 Wedding Show will be the start to your beautiful future. Find out more by going to WeddingDayIA.com. That's WeddingDayIA.com. They've got all the latest information right there, and you can head to KGYMRadio.com to find out more about it as well. 319-366-1600 as we come your way. Scott and Mark with you here on the program today. And always good to hear from Kim Moule, as we mentioned. Some more texts here, Mark. People also reminding me that James Winters and Duez Henderson also wore number 23. That was shortly after Roy left. And
the Earl also wore number 55.
True. But we didn't know Luca Garza was coming at that point.
No.
AC was also very good. AC, if you're listening, hello. A lot of interesting texts coming in, as you would imagine there would be. 58, ranging from 58-27. They did what they thought was best at the time. And what else do we have here? Why wouldn't Roy Marble's number be retired? Says 89-46. 88-82. Agree it is tiresome, and Barta needs to figure this out. Other schools prominently display banners recognizing their greatest teams and athletes. And there are banners at Carver Hawkeye. Always wondered why Chris Street's number is not in the rafters. Well, Chris Street was obviously a special situation. And I know when Chris tragically passed, they had other ideas as far as the 40 is concerned. They were going to allow that to be worn by natives of Iowa, et cetera, et cetera. Which is kind of, I guess, for good or bad, is kind of gone out of the way. But, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is out there.
Yeah, and Iowa State honored a Street and that number 40 for a number of years with Iowans who played over there. And problem is they don't have many Iowans playing over there anymore. Do want to mention a poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Which Luca Garza All-America season was more impressive, last year or this year?
Interesting question. Thought-provoking, indeed. 0558, retire the person's name, not the number. A ring of fame would do like the Chiefs. And I think that's what Gary Barta is kind of looking at, to be honest with you. That's what he talked about in 2015, and has not happened yet. Maybe that will be on the fast track. Who knows? College Championship Week continuing tonight with the Colonial Conference Championship at 6 o'clock on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. It'll be, I know you're looking forward to this, Mark. Drexel and Elon going at it tonight. That'll be the first game. Second game is going to be a dandy. West Coast Conference, number one, Gonzaga against BYU, who had to expend a lot of energy last night to get by Pepperdine in the semifinals out in Vegas. But we've got those two games tonight. You got the Summit League tonight as well, North Dakota State and Oral Roberts. South Dakota State was upset last night. Bad news for our local man, Matt Mims from Xavier, as they were the number one seed as far as that tournament is concerned. But such is life as a mid-major, or maybe even a step below mid-majordom. So we'll see. Our friend Wedge, before we leave today, Mark, instead of retiring the number, why don't they do it the way soccer does and give your two best players those two numbers, 23 and 42? Honor those players the way number 10 honors legends of soccer.
Maybe the best bet, Scott, is to not retire jerseys and numbers. What do you think?
It is up to you and your opinion out there. Yeah. They're going to play basketball in Indianapolis later this week. It can't come soon enough, I don't think. Tomorrow night, we've got North Lynn basketball for you at 5:45 and 107.5 FM. And you and Buttons will talk to Mr. Ironside tomorrow and wrap up the Big Ten Wrestling Championships as Iowa captured the Big Ten Wrestling Crown. And we'll look forward to the NCAA Championships, not this weekend, but the following weekend. So
we will indeed. And just announced this afternoon, Iowa will have a full complement of wrestlers as Max Murin was granted an at-large berth on his weight class. So Iowa will have a full squad going to St. Louis.
All 10. All right. More with Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have a great night. Mark, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you then.
Two chocolate chip muffins coming in. Thank you.
Indeed knows unexpected growth can stretch your business thin.
Hey, can someone get that?
Like at Claire's Cafe. To satisfy demand for takeout, she needs to get started hiring right away.